Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Cheryl Clark of Clark Strategies, and we will be discussing relationship marketing. Cheryl has a super interesting story about being detained by the United States immigration system for 295 days. So it's incredible. In that time, she lost everything that she had built up with her business. So her material possessions, her digital presence, her blogs, her social media, websites, domains, and she's built it all back up, which is really incredible. And a lot of that is through the power of networking. So Cheryl has spoken to many through in Las Vegas, California, Arizona, and now in Ontario. So thank you so much for joining us today, Cheryl. We're really excited to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the opportunity.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So could you tell us a little bit more about your story about, you know, so you got detained by the United States immigration system. So were you self-employed at that time?
I was. Thankfully, I was always self-employed while I was on the U.S. side. Mm-hmm. And so for 16 years, I had Canadians are allowed a certain amount of time down there per year. To be technical, it's 180 days per calendar year. Mm-hmm. My visa had lapsed. I never took to the court system to re-energize that visa per se. And mm-hmm. then at one point, with one of the administration's zero tolerance, I actually got caught up in that and therefore was detained due to my lack of proper immigration status in the country.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you sort of attribute your success of being able to build everything back up so quickly through the power of networking and just building relationships with people.
Absolutely. So I attribute it to, first of all, I was well supported. When I did manage to get back out and get back up into Canada, my Arizona and my US-based group rallied around me with more love than I can ever articulate in a conversation. Number one, but number two, I think my biggest power, my biggest strength was I knew who my market was. Mm-hmm. And so when I got here and started a new Facebook profile, started a new social media profile, I knew right away that I wanted to work with small business owners and entrepreneurs. Mm-hmm. And so literally I went into every demographic group you could go into and friended the life out of so many people as a result of that. As in speaking of specific groups, Barrie business community. I went in and friended as many as I could. Innisfil business community, GTA business community. And then I started to build from that standpoint to get back around to having something on social media that I could actually post and people would gravitate towards.
Okay. And then you started your own social media group.
I did. So I am doing now what I've always done. So I didn't reinvent myself just because I was detained and lost everything and came back out. I literally just tried to pick up what I knew. And that's what I've always done. And so literally my group is just small business owners and home-based business owners and just a place for them to build relationships, peer-to-peer education. It's not sales. I don't allow sales, to be honest, that they mm-hmm. happen organically. So it's not sales. It's not pitches. It's not join my team. It's the appreciation and the understanding that everybody already has a business and that they're working to build it. So let's rally around and support one another that way.
That's awesome. That's really cool. So that's really just given you a great opportunity to just create more relationships, strengthen, increase your network. And then have you created a networking group as well?
Yes, actually, yes, we have. So we used to meet in person live on a weekly basis. Every week, it's just a different roundtable discussion dropped on the table and everybody shares their viewpoint on it. Your experience with Twitter is different than my experience with Twitter. Your niche market, it may be different than mine. Your exposure to, you know, some of the growing pains of a small business might be different than mine. So it literally becomes a collaborative effort of everybody sharing what they're learning and what the journey's taught them. But I also find that it, based on relationship building, the trust factor's there. So therefore the referrals flow a lot more organically as a result of that. Because it's like, now it's not like, hey, I've never used your services, but I know you, dang it, because I sit with you every week. And so once a week, we meet on Zoom, and thankfully, you know, in the summer months, we drop down to maybe 20 people a week. But in the when it gets into the fall and winter, 30, 35 people easily.
Wow, that's so cool. Could you take a few minutes and tell us about your business?
Absolutely. Yeah, I appreciate that. Clark Strategies is more along the lines. I'm very, it's all about relationship marketing, but it's more about the tangible side. I don't get involved in the small business mindset or the entrepreneurial mindset. Mm-hmm. I actually believe what a lot of people would call opposite the belief system. A lot of people say, fix your mindset and then the action comes, where I believe that when you start with the action, the mindset will follow. Yeah. And so it's my company is formatted on the tangibles, as in what is it going to take and what do you have to do to grow? Mm-hmm. It started out as just generally sitting with folks and making them accountable, because self-accountability is something that none of us are great at. And then it kind of streamlined from there to where I can best serve. And so some of the places I feel I can best serve is taking some of the stuff off people's plates that they may not enjoy doing, they may not feel like doing, they may not have the talents to do or the skill set to do. And so now, as at this point, Clark Strategies literally is small business bookkeeping, because I can do it all online and keep everybody organized, and Facebook marketing specifically for my customers.
Okay, very cool. So what would you say is the best way to create strong relationships with other people?
Get involved. Get involved is the first thing that comes to my brain with that. I think that, you know, if we were on this, I use two analogies in some of the past training that I've done. If I meet you on the street and we shake hands and you said, hey, I'm Julia, and I say, hey, I'm Cheryl, we actually have a dialogue and an exchange. We don't just fist bump each other and keep walking. Yes. And I think sometimes on Facebook, when we start friending folks, it's literally like that fist bump moment, and we just kind of keep strolling rather than saying, hey, great to meet you, or hey, looking forward to getting to know you, and some of those pleasantries. And also same thing on the street. If you were standing on a street corner and saying, you know, my car just broke down and I need a mechanic, hopefully I wouldn't just stroll past you and ignore that you're in need. And yes, I think we do the same thing on Facebook. We see people say, I'm looking for this, or I'm looking for that. And even to validate the people to say, hey, I don't know a mechanic where you're at, but I'm sorry you're having car trouble. Or, hey, I don't know a mechanic where you're at, but maybe this person does, and tagging somebody. Or, hey, I do know a mechanic. I don't have personal experience with them, but here's some of the information for you to follow through with. Yeah. And I think sometimes it's just that simple stuff of, it's conversational. There's real people behind that keyboard. And that's yes, I think, the key for me.
That's awesome. I love that. And how do you nurture those professional relationships over time?
Nurture the professional relationships. I think time does its course, actually. When it comes to that, just being attentive to people. I tell you, I think that social media, if worked properly, and by worked, I mean being attentive to the individuals that are posting, can be a huge thing for all of us that are trying to grow and rapidly grow businesses, because it helps us know a little bit more about the individual. I know that someone just got a new dog a couple months ago. I know that someone's grandmother's ailing and suffering with some physical dilemmas. Mm-hmm. I know as a result, you know, someone else is expecting a baby in 2 months. And I think, you know, I've always said that if you don't have any other kind of calendared system, if you have a people calendar, that's all you need. Mm-hmm. And I tend to go the extra mile when I see someone, you know, example, got a new puppy today. Everybody's rallying in. He's so cute. He's so cute. He's so cute. Where if I took a calendar and opened up another calendar to August 31st, 2022, and to say to that person on that date, hey, you got your dog a year ago. How's it going? Talk about being able to stand up and elevate ourselves as making that connection and validating that person. And sometimes those calendars that we put, you know, a couple years even down the road, whether we're still connected or not, let time take that course. But if I don't have a calendar to remember that this person got a dog today, and a year from now to ask them how the dog's doing, or, hey, I remember a year ago you got your dog, and say, hey, I know, and I remember, and I'm attentive, it just becomes a huge opportunity for all of us.
Okay. So you use like a CRM or something like that, and then you're able to keep track of sort of what everyone's up to and follow up with them.
Yeah, make two points a day becomes a huge opportunity for all of us when it comes 365 days from now. And all of us can attest to how fast time goes.
Yes.
And so that, you know, where we're all sitting here going, oh, a year from now, like, you, who knows what's going to happen? I agree. Who knows what's going to happen? And I'm a living testament of that. But by the same token, with the calendar system and having the notes there, you have something to fall back on.
Yeah, absolutely. So what are some mistakes that marketers are making when it comes to, you know, networking or relationship building?
The use of I statements. It's all about I need this. I need you to purchase that. I need to sell these. I have a goal to meet. I have. And I get that, you know, the empathetic vote is there. So in other words, if I'm really connected to you and you say, dang it, I'm so close to my goal, help me compassionately. And if I'm connected to you, I'm going to try my best to help. Mm-hmm. But if I'm just someone that's sitting on the outskirts and just an acquaintance, for lack of better words, or someone who's not emotionally invested in you, those I statements sometimes, to me, become the killer for most of us in marketing, when it should be, do you have a need? Have you ever done this? Have you ever experienced that? And turn it on to the, flip the 180, turn it on to the person and make it happen that way.
Right. Sort of under figuring out ways that you can be of service to them and ways that you can help.
Yeah. I think it's okay when you use the I statement as an I noticed this. But by the same token, I think there's more power in, can you share with me about? And so it's the exact same words.
Yeah.
It's just changing the focus and switching it over to them. And it's not easy to do by any sense of the means. When you're under the gun, your cell phone bill needs to be paid. You got an electrical bill sitting on the table. I understand that. Mm-hmm. But the serving becomes, I think, organically everything else flows. I think the money is an end result. It's not a goal for me. And so it's an end result of a whole bunch of work. And that work is the contact, the relationship, the seeing the need, figuring out how I can meet the need, providing the opportunity to meet the need, actually physically meeting the need, and then the money comes.
Yeah. And what kind of fuels you? What is your kind of like philosophy or core values kind of that really drives you?
On a personal level, see the Wayne Dyer's quote, see the light in others and treat them as if that's all you will see, is huge. And also I try my best to live by that. I don't care where you've been. I only care where you're going. Mm-hmm. And so sometimes so many people tend to carry all of that baggage. I tried this. I did this. I don't care where you've been. I only care where you want to go, and let's figure out how to get there. Mm-hmm. And then from a business perspective and a business level, I think what drives me is there's a pivotal moment in, I hope, all of our businesses, where we spend so much time reaching out. And then all of a sudden we realize people are starting to reach in. I need to know more about you. I need to know more about your services. I may need you after all. And mm-hmm. that's that 180, when that pivotal moment happens, I love watching that you can just see it starting to turn. Right now we're investing all this time in posting on social media and getting our messages out there. And then at some point there's a turn where it's like, dang it, I didn't post anything today, and I've got a couple messages in my inbox. People are starting to reach in.
Yeah, that's really cool. Can you talk about the importance of having those strong core values and how important it is for really building relationships?
I think it makes, in my case, I think it makes me see people a little bit differently. So Bill Nye has a quote to, everyone knows something you don't know. Mm-hmm. And I kind of like that quote too, because it's kind of like when you see something coming across social media and stuff like that, it's not just a blow it off moment for me. There's a reason that person posted. Mm-hmm. Even if it's sharing, you know, a meal, and a crazy example, but maybe it's just sharing, they're constantly sharing their meals. And most of us are like, I don't care what you ate today. But from another standpoint, it's kind of like, Are you lonely? Is there no one at home for you? Are you not getting the validation that you need? Are you hoping to spur some extra income for the business restaurant because maybe your son and child are servers there? Mm-hmm. I mean, when you start seeing beyond the undercurrent of what we see, I think it becomes a huge opportunity for all of us.
Yeah.
And so sometimes those core values, it makes me, a lot of people say, I need to break from social media. Where I see social media as an uplifting and an opportunity on a daily basis. And so I approach it from that standpoint.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all how you perceive it for sure. And absolutely. I've heard a lot of people say that they want to take breaks from social media. And I think a lot of that is who you allow into your social media as well. You know, anyone who's negative, it makes sense that you're not going to want to be surrounded by that. So kind of just filtering who you kind of allow to come into your social media.
And it's what you comment on too. You know, I always say that we control our social media feed. I control whose phone call I pick up.
Yeah.
I control my social media feed. And if I'm constantly, you know, one of the ones that are chiming in on some of the chat rooms and chat groups on the derogatory negative posts, I'm going to see more of that. It's going to continue cycling through my feed. And so I think, you know, where if someone posts something positive, and even if I give it a heart or give it a, you know, I appreciate this post today. The validation is huge. Or great post. Thanks for sharing. Or I want you to know I paused and I read this today. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Those kind of little moments like that makes you see more of that kind of stuff starting to come through your newsfeed. It doesn't become an overwhelming negative place.
Yeah. So in your personal Facebook group that you've built up, it's a pretty big size now. I'm not sure exactly how many members, how many are in your group now?
I think we're pushing 500, but I tell you, Julia, I am so grateful for that group because they're all engaged. They all comment. It's all active. It's not just me posting. And then, you know, what some group members would say are crickets in the background. As soon as I post something, there's so many people there willing to give their opinion and viewpoint. It's become a very safe space. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very fortunate that way.
Yeah, that's great. And then how do you really interact with them? What kind of things are you posting that gets them really excited?
Usually, because every networking meeting has a topic, I usually try and kind of hone in on the topic of the week for mm-hmm. the chatter. And that way everybody that even can't attend the meetings feel part of it, number one. But number two, I mean, there's even been times when we've just put up for the relationship side, looking for something that you took with your camera that's purple. And just some of those fun things and watching everybody rally. And there's some really amazing friendships that have formed in that group. And it's a coming of two worlds for me because it's my American side as well as my Canadian side kind of coming together. And so it's kind of neat. And then to be honest with you, some of my Hispanic folks that I was detained with are watching and part of it as well. And so it's kind of neat that way.
That's really interesting. So how do you think you can be authentic, yet attentive to sort of that ripple that you can have with your words?
I struggle with this. I don't struggle with the being real part, but I think sometimes one of my favorite things that I've learned over the course of time is that I don't need you to validate my truth. Mm-hmm. And so my truth is my own and I own it. And so I don't feel the need to speak out my opinion on current politics, the current pandemic, the American side of politics. I don't need to be heard that way. It's not an important. Now, if I get asked, that's a different thing. You're asking my opinion. I have one. Everybody does.
Yeah.
And so authentically, I've just decided that I want to be the positive. I can't think of a better analogy. So the only one I'm going to use is like when you're a moth when you're a moth and someone turns on the light outside and all the moths go to the light.
Yes.
And so even though I hate to equate that people are pests, but by the same token, it's kind of like the same, but it's kind of like, let's be that light. People will gravitate towards you. They'll come to you that way.
Yes.
And so I have bad days just like everybody else does. And I have triggers as a result of being detained. There's no point even dancing around that. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, I choose who sees those, who may be part of that world of mine in that aspect. And so I'm just I can be very real and positive in the days I'm not feeling it. Thankfully, my social media can get me there too, because I see the posts. I see friends having a good time. I can cheer with them. I can celebrate with them, despite how I may internally be feeling.
Yeah. Well, it's very inspiring, you know, to go through something as traumatic as that. And, you know, you've really, taken the bull by the horns. You know, you've created a really amazing business, amazing communities, both through your Facebook group and your networking group. And you're very positive. So that's really inspiring. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I guess, you know, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly. So do you have any tips for, you know, other digital marketers out there who are really looking to expand their network? Just ways that could be helping them.
There's real people behind the keyboard. I want to keep coming back to that, that I understand you have a message and I understand you have a need, but when you put the other people first, it becomes huge. It just becomes a huge opportunity and the difference, there's that meme too, that are we talking with people or are we talking at them? Mm-hmm. And I think so often we tend to talk at people and hope they're hearing us rather than learning how to talk with them. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you, one of the biggest tips I can give for Facebook engagement, and it doesn't always work and you never know if it's going to work or not, to be honest, but ask questions. Mm-hmm. Don't tell. And so the question asking, at least if you say have a great day, there's no opportunity for engagement there, but have a great day, what are you up to? Now there's an opportunity for engagement there, which totally gets you out there a lot more when it comes to your voice. Participate in the conversations. There's thousands and millions of conversations going on every day. Participate in some of them.
Yeah. So just get involved in different Facebook groups, participate, and put other people's needs before your own.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, absolutely.
That's really helpful. So where do you see Clerk Strategies in 5 years' time?
5 years' time. Interesting. I see myself with a staff of 3 or 4 individuals in a nice office setting, to be honest, serving. And that's exactly what I hope to be able to obtain with that. I also see a not-for-profit side coming out of it at some point too, from a humanitarian standpoint. And so, but I absolutely see myself with some heart-centered folks working with me, not for me, with me.
Okay. And then do you want to just give us a little bit more information about your Facebook group, where we can find that if anyone's interested in joining it?
Yep. So the easiest way to find me is on my personal profile. It's facebook.com/ Cheryl Moving Forward. The Facebook, my business page is Clark Business Strategies, facebook.com Clark Business Strategies. And then the business group is facebook.com/group/ Business Strategic Group. Any of all those points will lead you to myself, where I can direct you to where the community is that is amazingly supporting one another beyond a doubt. And it absolutely has nothing to do with me beyond that. It's them, and it's them choosing and seeing one another as all in the same like-mindedness, all trying to grow a business in the entrepreneurship.
That's awesome. That's really great. So we're getting ready to wrap up here, but first I have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions for you. So number 1, what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
The 5 Love Languages, Gary Chapman. I can't say enough about it, and it's not even about relationships. Everybody needs to be loved. Everybody needs to be validated. And people hear you and see you in 5 different ways. And knowing how someone else receives love and validation allows you to tone your message so that you get heard easier.
Wow, that's so interesting. And what does your morning routine look like?
Morning routine. Actually, I'm trying to take up meditation. And it's not an easy thing. I'm like, how, like I'm literally still find myself looking at my phone going, I still got 2 minutes left. And when I just want to get up and go, I am much more a morning person than I will ever will be an evening or afternoon person. But mornings usually is so fun. I actually do get excited to see what come in email from the time I logged off. Cause I do not have email coming to my phone from the time I logged off to the time I get back. And so if that's the funnest thing I do in the morning, actually.
That's awesome. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Totally in love with Brené Brown and yes, Mel Robbins. Good. Mel Robbins. Those two would probably, and John C. Maxwell. Those three, actually. Okay. But I will say Brené Brown's transparency, and speaking of being authentic and stuff, mm-hmm. has been huge for me in my learning curve of starting over. Mm-hmm. And then Mel Robbins and her whole like 5-second rule, just kind of, they're both very real women. They just speak it like it is. Yes. There's no sugarcoating for them, for lack of better words. And John C. Maxwell's always been an amazing leader.
That's awesome. Yeah. What is your favorite online tool?
I love Facebook. I really do.
Yeah.
I would say it's Facebook for me. It's just, Facebook's a very positive, friendly world, and it's a world where I feel connected. Being, you know, 3,000 miles away from where I lived for 16 years and being back in a country that I had to refamiliarize myself with, it totally just, it's a connection world for me.
Awesome. I love that. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
That there'll be haters. That there'll always be someone who has an opinion over what you're doing. And I don't mean haters per se, but that there'll always be someone who has an opinion over what you're doing. And that you can learn a lot from the opinions, but then there's just some opinions that you just need to realize that they're, it's an opinion. It's not truth. It's a perspective thing. But that there'll always be someone who has an opinion.
Definitely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Cheryl. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciated the opportunity.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.